Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Amen. Praise be to God. Would you turn to Psalm 84? Thank you, Lord, for your word. You are merciful and graceful. Feed us tonight from your throne room. Psalm 84, is everybody there? We have been talking about the tabernacle and the reality and the purpose and the connection of the tabernacle. Where we are actually attached to the tabernacle. Not only are we the temple, but we're not the temple unless we're attached to the tabernacle. Everything revolves around the tabernacle. Everything. Everything. Even creation. Everything. If it wasn't for the tabernacle, there wouldn't be anything here. In Psalm 84 and verse 1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Those are the chambers of the tabernacle. There are three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, holy place, in most holy place. It says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He was acknowledging the Lord and the tabernacle as the place where the living God is. Even a sparrow has found a home and a swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Every one of us will appear before the Lord at his tabernacle. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your chambers or a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. You cannot walk uprightly into the reality that you are attached to the tabernacle. O Lord of hosts, bless the man who trusts in you. This is known as the house of God, is the tabernacle. And he expressed his love for the presence of God. Amen. In Psalm 92, would you go there? Psalm 92, in verse 5. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish and the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, read it with me. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in his courts. This is the place where you and I need endurance and commitment. Why? Because we advance from one chamber to the other. In 1 John chapter 5. And our desire is to advance to the most holy, or the holy of holies, chamber of the tabernacle. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 5, would you read it with me? Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes? What's the word believe mean? Follow. But he who believes or follows Jesus, the Son of God. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And some of these things, as we begin to explain the tabernacle, are going to spring back up to you. Especially the areas of water and blood. It says that he came by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. This is associated with the tabernacle. And these three are what? One. And there are there those that bear witness on the earth or in the physical realm. And it is the Spirit, the what? The water and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So he was speaking of his Son as being the tabernacle in this realm. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, and he who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does what? Not have life. So we see there that the three witnesses which are associated with the tabernacle in this realm is the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And the Spirit is the witness. And we know Jesus came as what? Water and blood, because he was the eternal tabernacle. Amen? In Exodus chapter 25. In verse 1 through 9, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. For everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them." Now, we're going to explain these things also. It says gold. Gold is associated with God's glory and divinity, divine. Silver. Silver is associated with redemption. So he's asking for these material things. Why? Because he's going to build the tabernacle. Bronze. Bronze is associated with suffering. Blue. He wanted blue. Blue is associated with, it's known as the Son of God or priesthood. He is the Son of God as a high priest. Purple is associated with Jesus as being the King. Scarlet is associated with him as being the Savior. And it says scarlet thread. And then it says fine linen. Fine linen is white. And it's associated with the perfect man. It said ram skins. Or, I'm sorry, goat's hair. Goat's hair is associated with sin. It's sin. Ram skins, and it says it's dyed red, which is associated with leadership. Badger skin is ugly. It's associated with sin of the old man. Acacia wood, it's also known as shittim wood. It's a relationship to eternal flesh, glorified body, eternal flesh, where Jesus said, the woman will become a flesh of my flesh, where you and I will become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. He said, oil for the light. We know that that's associated with the Holy Spirit. And spices for the anointing oil, for sweet incense, that's worship. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod. This is associated with the stones are a representation of the church, the body of Christ. And the ephod is a representation of prophecy. Is everybody okay? I'll say them again real quick. And the breastplate is associated with judgment. So I'm going to go backwards. The breastplate is judgment. The ephod is prophecy. The stones are the church. Is everybody okay? The sweet incense is worship. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The acacia wood is associated with eternal flesh or glorified body. The badger skin is the sin of the old man. The ram skin dyed red is associated with leadership. The goat's hair is associated with sin. Did you get the rest of the colors? Everybody got the rest? Okay, so the Lord was requiring an offering from all of his people willfully, that they were bringing this all together, and everything had a specific meaning so that they could establish the tabernacle on earth. Is everybody with me? And in verse 22, it says something wonderful. It says, and there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Now, I want you to note, if we were just going to go straight down here, one of the things, the first thing the Lord begins to build, before he even begins to build the tabernacle, is the Ark of the Covenant. But we're not going to go there. We're going to work from outside to in, but you notice how he always works from with me and you from inside to out. Amen? Go to Hebrews chapter 8. The tabernacle. Starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is considered the whole thing. The sanctuary is considered only the holy place and the most holy place. In fact, the sanctuary is the only thing that is covered. It is covered with the badger skin and the ram skin. It has a covering over it. These two chambers of the tabernacle are covered. Everything else is open. So verse 2, a minister of sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. So what he's saying, he's talking about the eternal tabernacle. He's not talking about the one in this realm. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the what? Heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. He said, see that you make all things, the Lord said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So in other words, the Lord showed Moses the eternal tabernacle. He showed him the heavenly tabernacle so that he can take what he showed him. Everything that the Lord showed Moses, everything that needed to be done in the heavenly realm. And so he was bringing the eternal tabernacle into the physical realm as close as he could with the things he had to use. Amen? In Revelation chapter 6. Even John saw the things of the eternal realm of the tabernacle. In fact, verse 9 it says, and when Jesus opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, this is the altar of sacrifice, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So we see that he saw the altar. In Revelation 11:19. Revelation 11:19. You know, people are always going, well, where's the ark now? Where's the ark? Well, I'm going to show you right where the ark is now. In verse 19, it says, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the what? The ark of the covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and a great hail. So we see John saw the tabernacle in heaven. That's where it's at. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, what he did is he brought his blood back home. He sprinkled it on the Ark of the Covenant and over the tabernacle. That's why the priests did it here all the time. They'd sprinkle it 7 times, meaning complete and perfect. And Jesus bled from 7 places in his body. And John 14:6. And Jesus said to them, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. He was explaining to them, I am the tabernacle. I'm the eternal port home. Nobody can get into the eternal realm except for coming through me. No one. Jesus is the tabernacle. Let me share something with you. Very vitally important. To really know him, you must know the reference of himself in the structure of the tabernacle. It is vitally important because there's places people cannot get to because they do not understand the tabernacle, especially its furnishings and its requirements to maintain it. In Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was speaking about 3 chambers, way, truth, and life. The outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. You know, Jesus says something very powerful. As he says, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. When he's always trying to say, look, don't you know me yet? And when you understand the tabernacle, you begin to know him even more. Even more. You see the relationship between him and the tabernacle. And it begins to blow you away of the things that are required. And there's an area where we can only touch so much of him until we fulfill the certain parts of the tabernacle and requirements. Everybody wants to get closer to the Lord. Some people never even make it to the holy place. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, is everybody there? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and what? Washed us from our sins. Where? In his blood. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him. And even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In other words, he's the beginning and the end. Sometimes it's difficult to comprehend, but the tabernacle, the eternal tabernacle has been in existence since the creation. Does everybody understand that? Of this realm, of this universe, and so forth, the eternal tabernacle. We don't know anything before that. In fact, there's a lot we don't know. We may find out all kinds of wild stuff, and I'm expecting that. But there's something very powerful. And Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the tabernacle from the beginning, and I will be the tabernacle at the end. Because why? It says in the book of Revelations that everyone will have to go up and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle. Psalm 19. I may be going a little fast tonight because I have a lot to cover. Are we okay? Psalm 19. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together if we may. Starting at verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a what? Tabernacle for the sun. But what else is he talking about? What sun is he talking about? See, he set a tabernacle, a place for the sun to display itself, but he's got a set place for the Son of God in his tabernacle, in his chamber of the tabernacle. It says, which is like a what? A bridegroom. Well, who are we? We're the bride, and he's the what? Bridegroom. Coming out of his what? Chamber. What chamber is this? The Holy of Hallelujah. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Even John the Baptist was known as a friend of the bridegroom. Now this is powerful because this is all associated with the tabernacle. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. We are warned in what? In keeping them, there is great reward. Keeping them, understanding. And I'm telling you something, when you begin to understand the tabernacle, you begin to see Jesus more. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Why? He knew that it would interfere with his relationship. He knew that it would interfere with going through and getting into the Holy of Holies. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is a wonderful revelation of the tabernacle. Now I want to share about seven important revelations of the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 27, Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life. Those are actually separations. We may call them as doors. Remember, Jesus said, I am the door. Amen? Well, each chamber has a door. But the first place that you see before you enter into the tabernacle is known as the gate. Everyone say the gate. Exodus 27, are we there? In verse 16, so you salvation is brought forth through the gate. This is where Jesus is introduced. This is the first revelation. He is introduced through the gate. And I'll explain a little bit more. It says, for the gate of the court, now to access into the outer court, you must repent for your sins. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Then the gate is open to you to enter into the tabernacle. This is not the sanctuary. This is still the outer court. Why? Because you just came from outer darkness. Is everybody with me? You came from outer darkness. Now you've gone into the outer court. And it says, for the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver, which means what? Anybody remember? Redemption. Amen. And bronze means what? What does it mean? Suffering. Is that what it means? Yeah. Okay. And bronze means suffering. So I want to step back again and go to talk about the colors. Remember, blue is associated. Remember, they had to put the whole, the front gate is held by four poles. All right? The poles are made of acacia wood, eternal flesh, right? Silver is redemption, suffering. Each pole in the front of the gate represents the four gospels. And Jesus is expressed through the four Gospels, isn't he? But he's expressed as the Son of God through Blue and the High Priest. Amen? He's expressed as the King through the Purple. He's expressed as the Savior through the Scarlet. And he's expressed as the man, the perfect man, through the white and the woven linen. Does everybody understand that? Now, the tabernacle, the gate was on the east side. Okay, so the first revelation of the tabernacle is known as the gate. It's representation of the introduction of Jesus. The tabernacle was 208 feet and 4 inches long and 104 feet wide. It was also 10 feet tall. And the purpose of the gates around the linen all the way around it is so that people could not see in. The only thing that you could see what was in there is when you got in there. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to explain a little bit more. So only those that were in there could see the sanctuary. Amen? Everything around it, how it was all built, it was all the whole fence around it was made of linen, the white linen. And then there were so many poles. There was 60 poles total. And each pole had two ropes. And these ropes were made of, anybody know? They were made of the what? Hair. Amen. Is everybody okay? So each pole had two ropes. And these were made of the goat hair in representation of sin. So there were 60 poles, 120 ropes, and there was 120 nails. So each one of these poles was a representation made of acacia wood, amen, eternal flesh, the sin, and the nails were also made of bronze, which meant what? Suffering. Each cap was silver, meaning redemption. Now, the nails that were put into the ground were only put in halfway, representation that he went in and rose. So we see here that the poles were made of acacia wood. There was a flesh incorruptible. The ropes were made with the hair of the goat, and that was associated with sin. And again, the nails were made with bronze, which was representation of suffering. Now, Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. He was on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And there are numbers which are very important, and I'm going to share just a few numbers tonight so we get an understanding here. The number 6 represents man, so he paid the price for man, didn't he? Amen. The 2 and 3 is associated with witness. It says when 2 or 3 out of the mouth of 2 or 3. The number 4 is associated with the world. 4 corners of the world. The number 5 is associated with grace or God's plan. Grace and God's plan. Of course, we already said 6 is man. 7 is the perfect or divine. 8 means new beginnings. Some of these things we already know. 10 is associated with human responsibility. That's why you're going to, in these poles, there were 6 poles, right? I mean, there were 60 poles total. 6 meaning man, but associated also with man's responsibility. So everybody got it. The rope was associated with man's sin and his responsibility. Is everybody okay? And 12 was associated administration or governing. That's why we had the 12 apostles. Amen. In verses 1 and 2, remember I shared we were going to start from the outside to come in. So once you, from the gate, we're going to start from the gate of salvation, where there's an introduction to Jesus. We're going to come in. The first thing you come to is the altar of sacrifice. And that's in chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, you shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Again, bronze means what? Suffering. You know, do you ever hear anybody say, they grabbed the horns of the altar because a person was safe there. You couldn't do anything if they could get to the altar and grab the horns. course, they didn't all obey that. They ripped the person away and killed them. You know, but it was supposed to be a safe place. Hallelujah. So the altar of sacrifice, associated with bronze, meaning suffering. The second, of course, we know that, and there was a blood was shed there, right? Okay. So we know that this is an area where there is reconciliation between man and God. So the second revelation is called reconciliation because it's brought forth by the altar. And in Exodus 30, in verse 17, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, you shall also make a laver of bronze, and with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet in the water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, which is known as the sanctuary, or when they come near the altar to minister to burn or an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. Let me share something with you. This laver, which was also made of bronze, inside was mirrored. Why? So that you can wash and receive the reflection of yourself. In fact, they could not even sacrifice an animal. They had to walk by the altar to the laver and wash before they could do anything every time. Every single time. Why? Because when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that was a part of fulfilling the Word of God, and the Word of God is what washes you. Amen? The Word of God, it draws you in so that when you are washed by... Now the blood of Christ cleanses you from sin. So now you've got access to the sanctuary, which is known as the holy place. That's why it's vitally important that before you even get your butts here, you should be repenting on the way, getting washed by the blood of Christ. Why? So you can access the Holy of Holies. If you haven't repented and you can do all the worship you want, God does not accept your worship. You can't even do anything. Even if you speak the word of God by holding sin, because you are not washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, nothing will happen. Does everybody understand? That's why it's important that we repent. We come together and assemble. Make sure you're repenting. Lord, forgive me for anything I've done that I've offended you today. Please wash me with the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. So in this washing, all right, it says in verse 21, and they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die, and it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their what? Generation. So we know that they must wash first. This is the third revelation. It's associated with a separation and consecration when they're washed. You can write this down in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. It talks about the husband washing the wife with the word of God. So we've come through the gate. We've gone to the altar. We've seen the altar of sacrifice. We've seen the laver of water, which is all open sky. There is no covering there. The only covering is through the sacrifice, through the blood. That is the only covering. Now you get into the sanctuary called the holy place. But this is the only place where it's called the door to the holy place. So we've got the gate, and now we've got the door. Exodus 26. The door to the sanctuary. Phenomenal. In verse 36, is everybody okay? And you shall make a screen for the what? The door, the tabernacle, or it's known as the sanctuary now. Woven of what? Blue, purple, scarlet thread, and woven linen made by weaver. Again, it's expressing the character of Christ, isn't it? And you shall make for the screen, how many pillars? Five of acacia wood, and overlay them with what? Gold. These are pillars that are divine. They are anointed. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast their five sockets of bronze for them. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. So now you're entering the sanctuary, but before you enter the sanctuary, it's known as the door. There's the colors again representing the character of Christ as the Son of God and High Priest. Amen. As the King, as the Savior, and as the perfect man. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and He Himself gave some to be what? Apostles. Put your thumb up. Apostles. You know, the thumb holds everything, doesn't it? Okay, what's the next one? Prophets. It does what? Points a direction, points the way. Some evangelists. It's the one that's the longest one. Why? Because it's the one that goes out to bring people in. Some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and a knowledge of the what? Son of God. See, those five poles represented those five offices. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so we see that those five poles represented the five offices that Jesus oversees and is still an expression of Himself. But see, the poles were anointed, weren't they? They had the gold on them, so they were divine. They were appointed by God. Why? So that He can express Himself through every office. Is everybody okay? Now look at this. And it says, it was for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man. What color was that? White. White linen, right? Son of God, known as the what? Blue. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, when you begin to understand, everyone wants to understand the fullness, you understand more of the fullness of Christ when you understand the tabernacle. That you should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Hallelujah. So we see that there is the door. In Exodus 25, so you go into the door of the sanctuary. Now listen, this door, this sanctuary is enclosed. There's no windows. There's nothing leaking out the roof. Okay? It's enclosed. The only light that's coming from the sanctuary is through what we call the menorah or the candles, the seven candles. Does everybody understand? And in Exodus 25, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 31, and you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. In other words, it won't be pieced together, it'll be all one piece. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Where are we going? Verse 31? 25, 31. You shall make a veil. Amen. Is that the right one? 25, 31, right? Yeah, man. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. Lampstand shall be hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and the flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of the side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made like an almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower, and three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches that shall come out of the lampstand, and on the lampstand itself, four bowls and et cetera and whatever. But anyways, in this, and go to verse 37. And you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they will give light in front of it all, and its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see that you make them according to the pattern which was what? Shown to you where? On the mountain. So Moses got all of this revelation on the mountain. You know, one of the things that people don't realize, that when the Lord first appeared himself to Moses, one of the things the Lord said is, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Why? Because his shoes associated with the walk of the old man. Amen. So we see this lampstand now is expressing something very powerful, because it says it will continually burn. This is called continual revelation. The lampstand is associated with the seven spirits, seven attributes of the Holy Spirit, which you can read in the book of Isaiah. And in the revelation of the seven spirits, it is continuous revelation. So this is the only light that is actually happening in the sanctuary, known as the holy place, which they go through the door. So the fourth revelation is called continual revelation. Is everybody okay? And Leviticus 24. We might be a few minutes late, but we're going to get through this. And you're going to... It's a good night to die, right? Come on, there's only seven revelations. We're on the fourth one. What do you want? Hallelujah! And I'm skipping a lot of stuff, let me tell you. Leviticus 24, verses 5. And it says, and you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephod shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows of six in a row in a pure gold table before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense on each row, and it shall be on the bread of for a memorial and an offering made by fire of the Lord. Frankincense is associated with persecution. So we see here the showbread, what he's talking about. This is the revelation that he satisfies. He what? Satisfies. The word talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. Feed on his faithfulness. He's known as the bread of life, isn't he? Amen? And he also says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. So the fifth revelation is known as he who satisfies. Exodus 30. And you shall make an altar to burn what? Incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length and a cubit its width, and it shall be square, and two cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay the top of it and its sides all around and its horns with pure gold. You shall make it for a molding of a gold all around. So again, we see that this incense that was put on, it was a table for incense, which was right before the curtain, or what we call the veil that goes into the most holy place. Remember, there are three chambers, the outer court, holy place, most holy place. The first place to get into the outer court was known as the gate. To get into the sanctuary is known as the door, and the furnishings are in the door. And so we see here something vitally important, because this is a part of intercession in worship. It's intercession in worship. This is the sixth revelation. One of the things that happened with the incense is it constantly burned. So again, this whole thing was enclosed. There was constant smoke in there all the time. It had no way of escaping. So you saw the lamps, the seven candles that were lit. Amen. So the seven candles that were lit and the smoke that was constantly in this room in representation of God's presence. So we know that this is where all the revelation of intercession. Amen. Remember the prayers of the saints? There's that incense, and then which is associated with revelation, intercession. And again, the smoke that goes, that it's constantly going in there. And I want to go to Exodus 27. Now, one of the things about the veil is there was no opening. You know, somebody think that this curtain, oh, I just opened the curtain. No. I mean, you see on all of these movies and whatever about the curtain being, you know, see some of these cartoon things about the tabernacle, the curtains opens up, and it doesn't open in the middle. It is solid from one side to the other. In Exodus 27 and verse 31, okay. love when these things happen to me. Ah, it's 20 and 21. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Amen? 27:20. And now we're going to verse 21. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever in their generations on half of Israel. So again, now it's called the what? Veil. This is called the what? The veil. So the veil had no opening in the middle. What the priest used to do is have to go squeeze around the side of the veil. Remember, it was heavy and thick. It was approximately almost a foot or two thick because they had so many curtains in it. That's why when it said it ripped, it was like nobody could just rip it. It wasn't just like some fine linen. These were heavy-duty veils that you couldn't just open it and rip it. You had to the priest squeezed in. So now you got to look at this. Here is in the sanctuary. The smoke is burning. And so when the priest would open up this veil, guess what went in first? Smoke. The incense. Then the priest would walk in. Then he would sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant seven times with the blood associated with Christ Jesus. Is everybody okay? This is called communion. Communion. This is where we want communion with the Lord. Continuous communion. And again, this was the first thing that was built. Amen? Now, I'm just going to make this real quick. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were the two tablets with the Ten Commandments were put on. There was a civil law book in the scriptures. There was the manna, which represented newness. There was a rod of Aaron. Now, check this out. When they were choosing who was going to be the priest over everything, I mean, he had a dead stick. So they said, lay this in there. I mean, overnight, this thing resurrected. And it blossomed. And not only did it blossom, it produced almonds overnight. Amen. Again, we see Jesus as the Son of God and High Priest, where we worship Him. We see Jesus as the King, where we obey Him and serve Him. We see Jesus as the Savior, where we follow Him. And we see Jesus as the man, where you and I can identify with Him. So everybody got it? And I'm going to close in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Remember I shared with you that the first four poles at the gate were representation of the four gospels, right? Well, I want to represent each gospel. The gospel of Matthew was associated with the king. The gospel of Mark was associated with the perfect man. The gospel of Luke was associated with the Savior. And the gospel of John was associated with the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. You know, there's still people who touch the holy place and go back to the outer court. They touch it. They've touched the door. In fact, the door is open, but they can't handle it long enough in there to make it to the most holy place. Hebrews 10, is everybody there? Hebrew in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is what? His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with what? Pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking to what? Assemble. Why? Because when we assemble, what do we assemble? The tabernacle. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. So one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we maintain the arena of assembling. Why? Because we build the tabernacle. And provision is released. Revelation is released. Illumination. All of these things. And maintain that process no matter what. Wash yourself with the word. Amen. And wash yourself with the blood of sin. So you're washing your brain. You're washing your memories. You're washing your thoughts with the word of God. And you're washing your sins with the blood of Christ. God does not acknowledge anything until he sees the blood. The Father acknowledges the blood. The Holy Spirit acknowledges the blood all the time. That's why one of the first things out of our mouth should be repentance. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. With a sincere heart. Forgive me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to live this way. And I don't want to offend you. I want to walk with you. I want to know you. Because this is nothing but a temporary place. And you're my only way home. I want constant communion with you. I don't want to miss anything. I think there'd be a lot more unity in the body of Christ if everybody truly understood Jesus is the way, truth, and life associated with the tabernacle. Many people are not getting what they're asking for because they're not fulfilling the requirements in the tabernacle. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that the impartation tonight of your tabernacle and who you are and the revelation would come forth so that there would be sweet communion with you in all that we do and bring you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.